Before I get to the introduction to this message, I invite you to open your Bible, if it's not already there, to 1 Peter chapter 1 and follow along as I read aloud for us verses 3 through 12, even though we'll be focusing on verses 10 through 12 in a little bit. So to get the context, we're going to start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. We're continuing our study of Peter's first epistle with verses 10 through 12 of this first chapter. Our scripture reading a moment ago included verses 3 through 12 because they all relate to salvation. The first seven of these verses, which we studied in the previous message, constitute praise to God for his marvelous gift of salvation and are meant to remind believers reading this epistle of the wonderful reasons we have for rejoicing despite contrary circumstances. The next three verses speak of prophecies concerning salvation, and this is what we'll concentrate on this afternoon. So this salvation of which Peter writes was the focus of the Old Testament prophecies of the sufferings and glories of the Messiah. Let me read verses 10 and 11 again for us. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that follow. Notice, first of all, here the wonderful testimony to the inspiration of the Scriptures. The theological term inspiration is derived from the translation of the compound New Testament Greek word theopneustos, which means God breathed, and which is translated in 2 Timothy 3:16 as the phrase inspired by God. So 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is theopneustos, is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Also, you can turn to Peter's second epistle to find another reference to the inspiration of Scripture. In 2 Peter 1:21, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. In fact, King David, one of these men used to write Scripture, gives personal testimony to his awareness that the Holy Spirit was speaking through him. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. Just so that we're clear about what the inspiration of Scripture means, it means that the entire Bible, all 66 books, 39 Old Testament books and 27 New Testament books, were written by the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit on the minds of the 40 men used to write the Scriptures. It's obvious from their own testimonies, as well as the varied style and vocabularies of each of these men, that The Holy Spirit did not suppress their minds and just use them as typewriters or dictation machines, but rather he prepared each man that he chose with the background that most suited what he wanted written in that particular book of the Bible. In fact, as you can see from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, these Old Testament prophets were well aware that the Holy Spirit was speaking through them, and not only were willing instruments in his hands, but they were very desirous of knowing what these things meant as the Holy Spirit communicated these prophecies through them. One example of this is Daniel, as we see in the following passages in the book of Daniel, where he gives personal testimony of not understanding the prophecies he had just been given. And then as he searches the prophecies of Jeremiah to gain insight into what he has just received. With that in mind, let me read some passages here that show that. So Daniel chapter 8, in fact, if you want, you can turn to Daniel chapter 8 if you keep your place in 1 Peter. Daniel chapter 8, verse 27. Then I, Daniel, was exhausted and sick for days. Then I got up again and carried on the king's business, but I was astounded at the vision, and there was none to explain it. So here, Daniel had been given prophecies by the Holy Spirit, and he was astounded at it. He didn't understand it. Daniel chapter 12, verse 8. As for me, I heard but could not understand. So I said, my Lord, what will be the outcome of these events? Again, he had been given inspiration of scripture that he wrote down, but he didn't understand it. And so he wanted to know. He wanted to understand it. Daniel chapter 9, back up a few chapters. Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So here, Daniel is going back to Jeremiah's prophecy and helping to figure out what God was telling him to write down as scripture. Notice, secondly, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, that the Holy Spirit predicted both the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Let's take time to review these Old Testament prophecies of the sufferings of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John list various aspects of the predicted sufferings of Christ. In other words, hatred by his people, betrayal by his friend, being forsaken by his flock, his scourging and crucifixion, and other things, and often mention the Old Testament prophecy that pertains to that particular aspect of Christ's suffering. For example, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, so that they will look on me whom they have pierced. And they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. And they will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping over a firstborn. And then John chapter 19, verse 34, corresponds to that Old Testament prophecy. John 19, 34, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. Another Old Testament passage, Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. King David wrote this, but yet Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, we read this, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was quoting from Psalm 22:1, but it was because that's exactly what the Holy Spirit showed David to write, because the Lord Jesus would say the same thing later. Psalm 22 again, verses 6 through 8, but I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All who see me sneer at me. They separate with a lip. They wag the head, saying, commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, because he delights in him. Obviously, all of them were being sarcastic as they were saying this. Then in Matthew chapter 27, verses 39 through 43, we see that prophecy fulfilled. And those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, you who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him and saying, he saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross and we will believe in him. Sarcastically here. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he delights in him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Again, quoting and reflecting what David wrote in Psalm 22. Psalm 22, verse 16. For dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. In John chapter 20, verses 24 through 28, we see the fulfillment of that prophecy. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Then back to Psalm 22, verse 18. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Again, that fulfillment in Matthew 27, verse 35. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among themselves by casting lots. Then in Psalm 34, verse 20, another prophecy, he keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. And that fulfillment of prophecy is found in John chapter 19, verses 31 through 36. Then the Jews, because it was the day of preparation, so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. By the way, that was so that they would die instantly with that kind of horrible pain that would take place with breaking their legs. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man and of the other who was crucified with him. But coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you also may believe. For these things came to pass to fulfill the scripture, not a bone of him shall be broken. So here John is saying, I'm quoting the Old Testament scripture, and it's being fulfilled right here as I've written it. Then Psalm 69, verse 21. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. And of course, the fulfillment of that is found in Matthew chapter 27, verse 34 and verse 48. Verse 34, they gave him wine to drink mixed with gall, and after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. Immediately one of them ran, and taking a sponge, he filled it with sour wine and put it on reed and gave him a drink. There again, sour wine, same thing as vinegar. So there was fulfillment of that Old Testament prophecy. Let's look at as well at the Old Testament prophecies of the glories that would follow. These were all suffering, but now look at the glories. His glories include his transfiguration. By the way, transfiguration is just a fancy theological term for the fact that the Lord Jesus was changed in appearance from normal human being to shining heavenly being. So transfiguration. His resurrection is also mentioned here, and his glorious return and his reign. So all these things are prophesied. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Here, Peter recalls witnessing the glory of Christ's transfiguration, where Jesus was took on the glory he had in heaven. Notice the record of this in Matthew 17:2, where they recorded this incident. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. I've paused here to think about this, try to visualize this. How many have ever tried to look at the sun? Ooh, bad idea, right? Okay, why? Because it is so bright, it'll burn your retina. And you can see this is Jesus, who was transfigured so that his face shone like the sun and his garments became as white as light. How many of you have been driving at night and then somebody comes towards you with their high beams on? How do you feel about that? It's like, ah, okay. Well, Jesus' garments were like that. Can you imagine? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Here it's mentioning the glory of his resurrection. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. Here Peter describes Christ's glorious return. I don't know about you, but I am so looking forward to his glorious return. Finally, notice the prophecy of Christ's glorious reign that follow. In Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, we read this. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. Revelation 11, verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. As we move on from 1 Peter 1, verses 10 and 11 to verse 12, we see that this salvation is something that not only the Old Testament prophets diligently studied, verse 10, but also angels long to look into it, verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things into which angels long to look. I don't know about you, but when it really sinks into my understanding that there is something that God's angels long to look into, then wow, that has to be something very, very important. It is something that we too ought to consider very important. Even more importantly, salvation is something that is vital to your eternal destiny. Please hear me. If you're listening to this message, if you're listening here or on our website or on Zoom, please hear me. If you're listening to this message and you have not yet repented of your sins and trusted Christ alone to save you from sin and hell, then you need to look into this. In fact, you need to make sure you receive it today before it's too late for you. Please Allow me to show you from the Bible how to receive Christ personally as your Savior from sin and hell. If you're listening to this later on our website, please contact me so that I can help you receive this glorious salvation. For those of you who have repented of your sins and have trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, what are you doing to help others come to Christ? Would you ask the Lord to give you courage and compassion to witness to those who have not yet turned to him for salvation? Some of you, I hope many of you, try to either be with us or connect on Zoom to our Wednesday prayer meetings. And there's something for you there this Wednesday. So I hope that you'll come and at least listen to it on Zoom. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for reminding us of the wonderful salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that the Old Testament prophecies not only spoke of his suffering in detail, that were fulfilled in detail in the New Testament, but also spoke of the glories to follow. And what a wonderful thing it is to read about the glories that will be part of the Lord's second coming. Oh, Lord, we are longing for that. We pray for that just as the Apostle John prayed for that in Revelation chapter 22. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And so until then, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us, enable us to be faithful to you and witnessing to the lost, living holy lives that bring glory to your name. We look forward to the day when those glories that were prophesied will become actual events that we will be partaking of. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for all you've done today in our hearts through your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.